Hi, everybody. It's Patrick here from the Infinite Scale podcast with James Vickery. Hi, James.
G'day, Patrick. How you doing?
I'm doing all right in these interesting times.
Very interesting.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing really well. We've got our social distancing working. We're doing this podcast not in the same room together for a change. So that's a new one for us.
Yeah, so we'll see how we go. But we thought today we would do a bit of a special episode, just given what's going on in the world with this new challenge that everybody's facing together. James has got a few thoughts around communicating with clients and some other ideas around business resilience that we thought we might just share with you quickly. As we go through this process, we'll probably do more episodes, but we thought we'd just do a quick one today to touch base with everybody. And of course, if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us. So James, how are things going with you? What are you seeing out there in the world as we kind of dive into this very different way of being?
Well, look, as you know, Patrick, we're based here in Sydney, Australia, and our situation is probably quite similar to a lot of regions around the world where there's at least some partial quarantines happening. A lot of businesses trying to figure out what it is that they're going to do, how they're going to mobilize their workforce. A lot of fear as to what's going to happen from an economic standpoint. So I think where our part of the world here in Australia is indicative of what's going on in other parts, some parts far more extreme than Australia. But it's definitely new territory for everybody. And I think that's something that we should talk a bit about on this podcast, is that everybody's kind of learning as they go how to adapt to this situation. And I think the more ideas we can get out there, the better it's going to be for the MSP community.
James, why don't we kick off by talking about, I think what's probably most important right now is communicating with your clients. It's key, right?
Yeah, I think we're certainly hearing from a lot of MSPs out there that they've got some worry and concern, particularly when they have clients that aren't very recession-proof. There's a lot of companies out there. Let's take the travel industry, for example, just completely decimated by the coronavirus outbreak. A lot of people not wanting to travel naturally. A lot of holiday destinations shutting down around the world. So I think a lot of MSPs are concerned where they don't have a diverse customer base, or they have some large customers that are represented in those industries. And so the first thing I wanted to talk about, and I actually posted this on Reddit to someone that asked a couple of days ago, is that what's most important? Yes, IT is important, helping your customer get workers remote, helping your customers get their tools set up, getting the VPN working properly, deploying new devices. That's going to take up a lot of time. And we're definitely seeing that out there in our partner base, that the volume of work is increasing as a result of people needing to adapt their working styles. But what's more important is your customers need a business partner. They value what you do in IT, but they also need to be talking to business people and getting a sense of what their other companies are doing, because that is how business owners determine what they're going to do. Now, business owners want to speak with colleagues, not necessarily IT guys. So something that I put in the Reddit post is just reaching out to your clients, not to talk about IT. That might be a topic, but this probably is a topic, but to also ask some key questions like, how is this affecting your business? Is one. How is it affecting your sales? You know, are you seeing a slowdown in sales? Are you seeing an increase in sales? How are your personnel affected? Is there anybody that's kind of, you know, just been taken out of play as a result of the virus, or as a result of a family member having the virus? So asking these sort of key questions, like what can we do for you, but not sort of angling it all from an IT position, I think that is a really important thing to do in terms of forming partnerships with your clients, rather than being someone who's just trying to sell them a technical solution during a crisis.
Being able to have suggestions of short-term fixes or tools or things that they can easily access themselves, right? Ideas to help them keep going allows you to continue to have a conversation with them and be helpful.
Yeah, for sure. And we've seen some of our partners at Benchmark being really proactive, reaching out with regular communications to their clients. So I think people are getting a bit sick of these emails now, you know, the COVID-19 update coming out, particularly from vendors that aren't mission critical, but IT is mission critical. So just reaching out to your clients periodically, first of all, to let them know what you are doing, because somewhere in a back room, somewhere that the client is thinking, I wonder if our suppliers will be able to keep pace with this. So just letting them know that you have a contingency plan. Perhaps you've put work from home in place with some of your employees. Perhaps you may need to downscale your field services because some of your employees may not want to be out there pressing the flesh at this particular time, but just a consistent level of communication about what you're doing, and also letting them know that that your advice may change. We're certainly hearing that from governments, like, yes, take our advice today, but the advice may change at any moment. And so letting your clients know that you're thinking two or three moves ahead, that you're forming contingency plans, and that you're thinking of them. And I think that's an important thing to state.
It's probably the place to start, right, is to really go out and just assure everybody that you've got things in place as much as you possibly can, and what your process is going to be, you know, to ensure that at least the service you're providing now is sustained.
Yeah, that's correct. And I, you know, there's a lot of blasé comments out there that, look, you know, our team already work from home. I'm talking about MSPs. Our team already work from home. They already use cloud-based tools. And that's really great. And that's probably true for most managed service providers. But there are a lot of things that may not be considered, such as field services. You know, that I read a post online today where an employee flat out said to the business owner, I'm not going to do any on-sites. I'm just not going to do it because I don't want to be exposed to the virus. So if that occurs and your customer's expecting someone to come out on-site, then it's all the more reason you need to communicate these things with your client and let them know what you've put in place as a workaround. And I think the moral of the story here is communication is key, absolutely key.
And obviously ongoing, right? It's not like a, hey, we're all thinking about it this week, because this is obviously something that's going to extend. But probably at some point, maybe it's a month, maybe it's 6 weeks, there's going to become a new normal. So things will be different. But it's equally as important to like keep those channels open.
Yes. Yeah, I think it is. I still run an MSP in Australia. Obviously, a lot of my time these days is taken up with Benchmark 365, but we still have an MSP based here in Sydney. And I've reached out personally to every business owner within our client base, had a conversation with them, asked all of those questions that we just talked about a moment ago. And what's interesting with them, I spoke with one large client today, and he said, all of our business is pressing the flesh. Like, if, you know, we've been in business for 30 years. It's all been flying around the country, doing demos, having presentations. And he said, you know, this has really made us have to rethink our entire business. And that was great information for me. I mean, I obviously have a general sense of what the client does and, you know, I'm quite close to them. But to have the owner actually express that and say, we're going to need to start thinking about a whole new way of doing business for our company, that was really key information. I was then able to reach out to his management team, say, hey, I've just had a chat with the CEO. He's talking about how we're going to virtualize meetings. Just wanted to let you know that you've actually already got the capability. You're just not leveraging it. Mm-hmm. And when you guys are ready to have a conversation about that, we'll be here. Now's probably not the time while you're just trying to figure out how to get people to work from home. But when you're ready to have a conversation about customer success, different programs that you can employ, you've already got Office 365, you've already got all these tools. We've got to just start to talk about training and adoption now. So I think it's really valuable to reach out and have those conversations.
And I think maybe another thing to emphasize too is that I think from what you said up front is to really listen to what they're thinking about and what's important in their business. That's how you come across as not being predatory or opportunistic. It's like, I'm listening to what you're saying and I do have a solution in my pocket for you when and if you need it.
Yeah, I think that, as you put it, predatory marketing, you're skating a very, very thin line. And I think that there are, for an MSP, there are essential services that you are probably already providing to your client. But some of those services may be stretched, or some of it might result in project work. I think it's important to draw the line with your client to say, these are the things that we can just kind of do because they're critical, they're essential to your business. These are the things we're going to have to maybe slow down and have a conversation about. We might need to actually walk you through both the benefits and the consequences of activating this service or putting this device or this platform in place for your business. I'd be very, very cautious about marketing and using the coronavirus as a marketing tool. That just reflects my values, Patrick, and our organization's values. We made a decision early on to not do any marketing that's just going to, you know, take advantage of a crisis situation. We're here to help our partners. We're here to help anyone that approaches us, but we won't be doing any, you know, pushy kind of predatory style marketing at any time.
Sure. And I guess my point is that it is okay to reach out though, like, because you are an essential service. So, you know,
of course,
by reaching out, you're not trying to be predatory. And I think that's important.
I think it is really important. And anyone that's out there listening, that's got a client base, we've talked about this extensively in this podcast as well, is listening is key. Communication is key. Sometimes as MSPs, we tend to see everything as a technology problem. And what I think is important is this is a wide scale business problem. This is a very, very big problem. And your customer might be thinking about IT, but they're also thinking about accounts receivable. They're also thinking about suppliers and the supply chain. They've got a whole bunch of business issues. And if you're talking to those points, then IT sits in underneath that. So it's like, we've got an objective and that is to get everybody to work from home. Right, well, IT is a factor of that, and let's have a conversation about that. But trying to introduce new products and services just off the back of, you know, maybe they need this because of the coronavirus, I think is a bit of a risky play, in my opinion.
Right. So let's move on, because we want to keep this one relatively short, given that everyone's, I guess, pretty busy right now. And let's think about business resilience from an MSP's perspective. Any thoughts on that, James?
I've got thoughts and grey hairs on that, Patrick, for sure. As you know, we published the book Infinite Scale a few months back, and part of that story was around sort of recovering from the global financial crisis and then getting my business in shape thereafter. My business was not well diversified back in 2008. We worked with a lot of companies that were in the construction industry, and a lot of those companies folded or went pretty close to folding during the global financial crisis. We also worked with vendors that supported those industries, so the downstream of economic impact hit us really hard, really, really hard. And I can remember having conversations with clients not too long after the crisis hit, where some clients were not constructive. They were just, we can't pay you, and that's that. And I didn't have the tools to deal with that at the time. And we had other clients saying, look, we can pay you, but it'll be a lot less. And we also had extensive accounts receivable. You know, we used to ship hardware out without getting paid in advance. We used to provide invoices after services were rendered rather than before. So I think some of my experience comes into play here. One is that it's very, very important to look at your accounts receivable now. Although a lot of clients might be taking a conservative view, and they may not see the impact to their business, they might start to space out payments as far as they can. So if you've got, you know, receivables that are kind of stretching out already, now is the time to gently, calmly remind your client that these invoices are due, and try to get in a position where you're not owed a considerable amount of money, because things, you know, I'm not an economist, but certainly the signs are pointing to some sort of fallout from COVID. I think the next thing is to, when clients are asking you to relax your fees, that's something that you're going to need to make an important decision about. If relaxing fees mean that you lose money and you still need to maintain personnel and services, then that's not going to work, right? In the long right. run, that's not going to work. So if you are doing that, one of the suggestions I'd like to make, and based on missteps made in 2008, 2009, is to put a time limit on that. Not just to recontract and drop your fees considerably during this period of time, but to say to the client, how long do you need this relaxed for? And to put a deadline on that, and to have regular reviews around that, and make sure that you're not just taking a cut forever, because your client's business hopefully will bounce back, you know, hopefully bounce back in a short period of time. So try to put a time limit on any discounts that you're providing on your service would be my advice.
And it's probably worthwhile doing some modeling now, right? Like taking a look at your accounts receivable and your client base and all that sort of stuff, and figuring out what kind of different scenarios, I guess, in terms of, well, if I am knocking back fees, what does it look like? So you kind of have that information up front, so you can offer some options, as opposed to just going into the conversation and they're saying, I want to cut my fee by 50%.
I mean, there are services that you may have deployed to your customer during good times, you know, during a boom. Mm. Let's talk about, in my experience, what tends to happen during economic, you know, when the economy is not going well. Everybody still needs IT. Like every business that stays in business will still need their computers up and running. But there may be services that are considered to be a bit of a luxury to them, and they may want to turn those services off. So even though you might be in love with the product that you're selling them, they may not be, because it might not result in bottom line value to their business during hard times. So I think what you're saying there is absolutely right. Taking a really good look at what you're offering these clients and whether they might be able to pause some of those services for the time being. The other thing is, managed services tends to survive through difficult economic times, but keep in mind that clients may not want to be buying new equipment. They may be now. they might be buying laptops right now to get people remote as quickly as they can. But during economic downturns, recessions and so forth, people tend to move into maintenance mode. So they tend to move away from new acquisitions and they tend to move into maintenance mode. We see that in the car industry as well. People buy new cars during a boom and when debt is cheap, and people tend to service and maintain their cars when it's not. And so I think managed services, if you're really, really strict on managed services and everything's got to be, you know, mint condition and warranty and all of that sort of stuff, you might find your clients just simply saying no. And you might need to try to develop a servicing model that suits the market economy. And maybe we can do another podcast just on that too, Patrick.
Sure. So one last question. Probably right now there's, you know, a lot of pent up kind of, well, a lot more demand basically, and a lot of people crying out for attention. How do you prioritize? How do you manage people's expectations around delivery of support, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, good question. It's been interesting and fascinating for us to watch over the last few weeks at Benchmark. Benchmark supports a variety of managed service providers based in various regions, you know, Australia, the US, the UK, and so on. And it's fascinating to see the different behaviours depending on what's happening on the ground right now. Obviously, I know you've been to Seattle a few times, Patrick, hopefully not recently, but that's been almost, you know, ground zero for coronavirus. And what we're seeing just in that market alone is something like 2 to 3 times volume from customers that are suddenly urgently needing to work from home. And so naturally what you've got to start to do is look at, in your own MSP, do you have the capacity for any and every query that's being raised, or do you need to prioritize your good top paying premium clients? I would say that's what you need to do. You need to look at what are the essential services that you need to deliver to keep your clients up and running, but anything that can sort of be spaced out a little bit, wasn't urgent, might've been before the outbreak, but not so much now. I think it's important to have someone looking at that and prioritizing specific customers and specific work types. And I don't think this is going to go away anytime soon. I think there's an immediate response, and then there tends to be a lagging response where some of your slower customers suddenly go, oh, oops, we need to do something about this. So you might see little runs of demand popping in over the coming weeks. And it's important to have somebody looking at capacity, looking at whether your team can actually keep up with that. Certainly some of our Benchmark partners have reached out and said, we just need more capacity, and we've provided that and we're doing really well over there, which is great. So yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it for now.
Okay, great. Well, I think we might leave it there for today, James. Let all these people get back to work. If you have any questions that you would like us to answer, feel free to reach out to us on hello@benchmark365.com. So good luck to everybody. I'm sure we'll all get through it together. So thanks again. Thanks, James.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to get your own copy of Infinite Scale, just go to benchmark365.com. And if you have any comments, feedback, or suggestions for future podcast episodes, just drop us a line at hello@benchmark365.com. Thanks for listening.